What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. There's a fellow by the name of Jed. Not the guy who found the oil, but Kolko is his last name. K-O-L-K-O. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he did discover some oil, but I don't think so. He is the former Undersecretary for Economic Affairs at the Commerce Department. And before that, he was a chief economist with Indeed.com as well as Trulia, which is the, I think that's a sweetener, right? Is that the green packets? I forget. Anyway, the nation's most urban counties lost population last year. Most urban counties. The most urban counties lost population last year. And that was the fourth straight year that they have lost population. Who's growing? Good question. Glad you asked. Lower density suburbs. They grew at their fastest pace since the foreclosure crisis, according to the latest Census Bureau population estimates. The three largest metro areas, New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, all lost population in 2023. The fastest growing metropolitan areas last year were all smaller metros in the South. In your face! These losses were milder in 2023 than in 2022 and 2021 because of the pandemic. Okay, so the pandemic really hurt urban counties, really hurt them. Outmigration from the urban counties was really, really high 2020, 2021. It has tapered off a little bit, but it is still, they are still losing population. These lower density. Oh, hang on a second. Let me back up. I skipped something here. Oh, after those large pandemic losses, he says it is surprising that urban counties continue to lose population. Because at some point, right, it's like, wait, when does the loss, the losses should stop at some point. If it was pandemic related, right, shouldn't it eventually stop? And it has slowed, and maybe next year it does stop. Maybe it reverses course or something, or, you know, I don't know, maybe some Republicans take over these counties, right? That's, I'm just kidding. That wouldn't happen. The losses were milder last year. The lower density suburban counties tend to be more affordable also than urban counties and the higher density suburbs. So you got four different groups. You got actually more than that. You got urban counties, and then you got large metros with higher density suburbs, okay? Then you have the large metros that have the lower density suburbs on the outskirts, right? Which makes sense. Like you got your urban core, so like Charlotte. Then you got your, you know, you go outside of that and you got higher density suburbs. And then outside of that, you've got sort of bedroom communities to the metro area, right? Lower density, people are more spread out. So that's in the large metro areas. Then you have mid-sized metros and small metros and then non-metros, non-metropolitan areas, right? And the only category that lost population was the large metro urban counties. Every one of those other groups I just went through, they all gained. Now, the higher density suburbs in the bigger cities, those they did not gain as much, but they still gained. They still gain population. Working from home some days a week makes longer commutes more manageable because they are less frequent, right? Obviously. If my wife and I had this conversation when we were looking to buy our house a couple of years ago, you know, I used to live off of Eastway Drive, East Charlotte, my first house. And I mean, the neighborhood was, you know, kind of on the border there. It was kind of sketchy sometimes, but very cheap house. And it took us like 10 minutes to get to work. It was fantastic, right? I mean, the house I had, I bought for like $80,000, I want to say, $78,000. And I think the last time I saw it for sale, it was approaching $400,000, and it's a two-bedroom, one-bath. So just because of the location, which actually, you know what? That might be a good rule of thumb for real estate. Location, like focus on the location. Yeah. Dang it. I have all these good secrets. I'm just giving them away. The water cooler, the fishing hole, now real estate. Kirk says, Pete, you also don't talk about the best DMV office to renew your license. That's true too, Kirk. Okay. But luckily I didn't do that. Well, I did kind of the other day, actually. Dang it. Taking the longer view, he says, population growth in urban counties was slowing even before the pandemic. Okay, so growth was slowing down before the pandemic hit. But here's the thing, as more people then, when the pandemic hit, you had more people work from home, and now they don't want to go back to work. And they were like, I want more space as well, because you're cooped up in a tiny little studio apartment with your, you know, spouse, and you know, like, you know, you picked up a couple extra dogs and all this other stuff during the pandemic. Now you need some more room. And maybe you have a couple kids, you're like, need some more room. And so we can move farther away from our work because I can commute in only, you know, 2 days, 3 days a week. And so it's not so bad. The trade-off is not so bad because I can work from home a couple days a week. And it's not a big enough sacrifice of my time, because that's what it is. Like, it's not, like, I like to drive. I don't mind driving. I like it. But here's the thing. I don't like trading my life. Because that's what you're doing when you're in the car on a commute. You're trading a chunk of your life for no pay, right? Because your employer is not paying you to commute into the job, right? That's your choice on where to live, so they're not going to pay you for that, but that's part of your calculation when you're figuring out, like, what do I need to make at this job in order to make it worth my while to take the job, right? So the farther away you are, the more time you spend in your car, that is a greater chunk of your life that you are spending in traffic. Population change has three components, by the way: domestic migration, international migration, and natural increase. So more births than deaths, which, by the way, in the non-metro areas, in the rural areas, small metros, you got more deaths than births. So that's their problem, right? That's the challenge occurring in the smaller places and the more rural places, is you've got deaths because you have older populations and their young'uns are moving away. They go to college, they go get jobs for opportunity in the big cities and stuff, they leave. And if they may come back, but when they come back, they're not having any more kids, right? So you have more deaths than births. And that's the pressure being put on those populations. But the large urban counties, the domestic migration, that is people moving, you know, inside America, inside the state, whatever, that is a loss in the urban counties. That is a loss. They have more births than deaths, that is true. But international migration is the only thing keeping them close at this point. Urban populations are still shrinking despite the rising immigration numbers. Domestic out-migration accelerated through the 2010s. It spiked during the pandemic, and it continues to more than offset the urban population boost from immigration. Okay, so the people who are leaving the cities and moving to some rural areas inside America or inside the state, that migration, that is so great that even with the huge numbers of immigration, it's still not enough to be offset. That's a problem. Urban exodus. This is from Mark, who says, Pete, it's probably not a major factor, but more and more articles have been appearing that argue the worst place to be if and when the stuff hits the fan is a densely populated urban area. Just look at the recent response to the trucker that said he wouldn't haul into Manhattan. That's true. That is true. As was outlined in the book One Second After by Dr. Bill Forstin, you know, post EMP and takes place in Black Mountain, right outside of Asheville. And they talk, he talks in the book about, you know, the devastation that Charlotte went through, and the, and all of the urban, the dense urban areas suffer because you turn people's lights off for a couple of days and they go a little crazy. So, what else from this report, from the census data? Growth has shifted towards the South. While the Sun Belt has grown faster than the Northeast and Midwest for decades, Sun Belt growth has become more concentrated in the South in recent years. In 2023, all 10 of the fastest growing metros were in the South, and all were mid-size or small metros with none with more than a million people. So they're all under a million people. What are the fastest growing metros? Glad you asked. And that just means the greatest population change in 2023. The fastest growing. Number one, the Villages, Florida. Number two, well, that's Wildwood. They call it Wildwood, the Villages. Number two, Lakeland, Winter Haven, Florida. Number two. Number three, Myrtle Beach / Conway / North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's number three, that whole area, which I saw somebody refer to. Somebody got some video of some people stealing a bunch of Crocs out of a Croc store, which, what a Croc. But really, my first question was, why Crocs? Do people still wear those things? I thought that fad, terrible as it was, I thought that thing died a quick death, but apparently I was mistaken. Do you have Crocs, John?
I wear Crocs.
You wear Crocs.
I do. Size 13. Very comfortable.
That is that a humble brag?
No, no. Just shoes are hard to find sometimes.
For size 13s?
They can be, depending on where you go.
Is it, are you doing like the letters too? Do you have any of the letter thing going on?
No, I'm not into that. I've seen that, and it seems more of kind of a like a ladies type thing. Maybe
Like, oh, they're wide, these are narrow, whatever.
Yeah,
but I have been told I have narrow feet.
Hmm.
These are by a guy at a shoe store who was like taking my measurement on the foot, and I'm like 11 and a half, 12, depending. It's like, because like sneakers, you got to go, what is it, a little bit bigger, like half a size bigger?
Yeah.
Because your feet swell or something?
Smell? The swell.
They do both.
Swell, yeah. Okay.
Oh, do you remember? I don't know why I just thought of this. No, probably because of the swelling. Do you remember they used to have the pumps?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Pump
things?
The tongue of the sneaker?
Yeah, yeah. It would have like a little ball and you would pump it up and it would like, like cause ankle injuries because your foot would become basically immobilized. So yeah, lace them up so tight that there's no give. So as soon as you like, you step a little awkward. Oh, there you go. Broken ankle.
That's why I like Crocs. There's lots of give. Yeah. Lots of room in there.
Yeah. Are they still plastic?
There's kind of a rubbery plastic feel to them.
That's what I thought. Okay. A bunch of these, there was like three women and they were like just going and just like filling up these huge shopping bags of Crocs, just taking them off the shelves and just walking out of the store. And they weren't even wearing masks. So like they weren't even COVID safe. But I know that was like the shocker. But somebody, they posted and they're like, this is in Myrtle Beach, Florida. And they got dragged for that. Next up, though, number four, Ocala, Florida, followed by Port St. Lucie, Florida, followed by Hinesville, Georgia, Midland, Texas, Spartanburg, South Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, and then Daphne, Fairhope, Foley, metro area, Alabama. So there you go. So Myrtle Beach at number three, and Spartanburg at number eight, Wilmington at number nine. All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply.
at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
U.S. Congressman Greg Murphy. I've interviewed Greg Murphy a couple of times, mostly during the pandemic. I talked to him a lot because he's a doctor. And he was the guy that he said, we're building the plane while we're flying it. And I thought that was a really good analogy for the early days of the pandemic. That's when I had him on and we were talking about it. And, in fact, I then said that, to my doctor and, she was like, I don't believe that at all. And I said, oh, all right, well, that's what another doctor told me. She's like, well, what doctor? And I was like, what do you mean? What doctor? Like his name? You want his name? Yeah. Like, okay. I think I need another doctor. anyway, Greg Murphy said something, and McClatchy's opinion writer Paige Mastine, she is going to do a fact check here. She's going to tell us what the facts are. Headline: North Carolina congressman says Biden is recruiting illegal votes. Here are the facts. So Greg Murphy made a quote, in her estimation, a wildly absurd claim on social media, alleging that Joe Biden is intentionally leaving the U.S. border open so that undocumented immigrants can come into the country and vote. Here is what he said on the Twitter machine. Quote, the real vote fraud, or the real voter fraud, rather, Biden opened our border to recruit illegal aliens to register to vote. This country is on the path of one-party rule and Marxism. America needs to wake up. Okay, that's what he wrote. She says, as ridiculous as this statement is, it's actually become a fairly common talking point among Republicans. Paige, I know you're young. She was hired like right out of college. You know, this was the wisdom of the elders here to bring in this recent college grad to impart all of her wisdom on the old folks and the lefties that still read the News and Observer. It's not a ridiculous statement, Paige, but also this was, in fact, the articulated, stated goal of Democrats. Right? That whole replacement theory thing, that wasn't created by Republicans. That was created by Democrats. Rui Teixeira wrote a whole book about it, like 15 years ago. I know you were in like elementary school, so you probably didn't read it, but wrote all about it, talked all about it. Right? How all the white people are going to die, and then all these other people from Central and South America coming in, they will replace all of the native-born white Americans. And this was to be celebrated, because that meant this was going to be the lasting permanent majority for the Democrat Party, because they assumed, based on, you know, the immigrants' race, that they would be Democrats, which I always found to be a little racist-y, you know? Like, oh, I see you are a certain ethnicity or color, and so therefore, I know your politics, which is, again, you're making all sorts of assumptions about somebody just based on the color of their skin, and like that's prejudice, it's kind of bigoted, but, you know, whatever, they're Democrats, so it's kind of par for the course. So anyway, the whole idea that the white folks are going to die off and be replaced, that wasn't something that the Republicans came up with and started, like, worrying about because they thought of it. It was something that the Democrats put out there as the strategy, talking about it and how this was going to be fantastic. So she then says that the Biden administration, and she knows this, that they are not importing votes. For one, she says, it can take a decade or longer for an immigrant to become a U.S. citizen. Yeah. Oh, so you're assuming they're coming here legally. Oh, that's adorable. Oh, wait a minute. Are you gaslighting us here, Paige? Is that what's happening? Are you gaslighting us? It could take a decade or longer for an immigrant to become a U.S. citizen. That's not who Greg Murphy's talking about. By the way, have you seen any of the footage from the southern border? Those are not all legal immigrants. Yeah. So she says, yeah, it would 10 years before they'd even be able to register to vote. Not necessarily. If they're following the law, then yes. But see, registering to vote is so easy that a lot of people end up doing it when they don't even mean to do it. First off, they don't really speak English very well, and so they go to DMV, or maybe they're on a college campus or something, or maybe they're just, you know, walking around, they're at a grocery store, and somebody from your Act Blue organizations or whatever, they're out there with the clipboards, and they're registering people to vote. She does point out it is illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections under federal law. That is true. She says it carries hefty punishments, including deportation or imprisonment. Okay, which is, that never happens, though. But, I mean, like the prosecutions. The vote fraud does happen, but prosecutions very rarely happen. But I'm going to take the win on this one, folks, because at least we've got a lefty who's finally acknowledging that there is, in fact, vote fraud, and that there is a deterring effect. There's a deterrence there when you have stiff penalties, right? Because obviously she believes that it being illegal, kind of like a gun-free zone, nobody ever brings guns into those. So it's illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. How about local ones, Paige? Yeah, there are municipalities that have begun extending the franchise to illegal immigrants. Because they live here too. That's the argument. Here's the other thing, though. The really important thing. I was going over the migration data and all that. Cities losing population, census numbers. Here's the thing. These blue areas are being supported by, as I went over, immigration from, you know, international immigration, let me say. International immigration. Domestic migration is sending people out of these areas. So what the international immigration provides for these large urban counties and cities, these blue Democrat-controlled areas and states, what it provides them is population count for the census, which is then used to determine how many representatives the state has in Congress. That's the point. Is that clear? I don't know how much clearer I can make that.
All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code word Pete and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
Let's go over and talk with Chris. Hello, Chris. What's going on?
Hello, Pete.
Hey, what's up?
Several months ago, right about the time that the mayors of Chicago and New York were complaining about this influx of immigrants they were getting, I was channel surfing one morning, and I came across Morning Joe, and Mika and Joe had the governor of Pennsylvania on there.
Now, wait a minute. Hang on, Chris. You prefaced this by saying you were merely channel surfing?
I was through the news channels.
You totally didn't mean to be there.
No, when I saw what they were talking about, yeah, I stopped and watched it. But no, I was just going through it. I might have been looking for the Weather Channel. Who knows? But anyway, so the governor of Pennsylvania is on there, and he's talking about, well, I don't see what they're complaining about. We know in Pennsylvania, we know how to handle this problem. What we do is we encourage all the new immigrants to come in and get a driver's license. First and foremost, you got to get a driver's license. And then we automatically register them to vote. And we tell them to keep us updated on their address, because when it's election time, we're going to mail them all ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to do this. And the whole time, Mika's got that smirk on her face. So anyway, he said it right there on the air.
Yeah, it's not a secret. And the ability to cross-check this stuff is stymied depending on what state you are in, and the list maintenance and getting people off the rolls and such, it's entirely constructed to make it more difficult to root this stuff out, and to make it easier for people who want to abuse the system to do so. You can't, I mean, remember when Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest put out that video? You remember? Like, what, 8 years ago or something, he did a video talking about how easy it is to commit vote fraud, and the lefties lost their mind, like, oh my gosh, he's showing people how to commit vote fraud. But yeah, that's what the law allows. So if you think that's crazy, then maybe join us in securing the elections. But
I just barely remember that. I don't remember the details. You said it was Dan Forrest. Okay, I have to look that up.
Yeah, Dan Forrest.
Remember that. Okay.
He ran against
Governor Cooper specifically.
Yeah, Dan Forrest.
I'll try and find that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did a little YouTube video about it. Chris, I appreciate the call, man. Have a great weekend. Yeah, Dan Forrest, he was the lieutenant governor, ran against Roy Cooper in 2020. And he was like, masks don't work. And then he lost. So, it happens. It happens. Russ says that Idiocracy used the footwear Crocs because they wanted to find shoes that only idiots would wear. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.